Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and love, family. Peace and love. Thank you for tuning in to another live edition of Twin Flame Radio. Yes. My name is Divine Queen, and I am here with my newly head-shaven enlightened king. Chris, say what's up to the fam.
What's good, family? What it do? I'm trying not to choke right now. But I'm doing good. I'm doing well.
Oh, that's funny. Fam don't know. We was up here choking for like 5 minutes before the show went live.
These chocolate covered, what are you, almonds?
Almonds. Yes, they're quite delicious, but
I don't know when to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that.
They're so delicious.
They're so good. Yeah.
Well, we want to thank the fam for tuning in with us tonight. We are back after having a little bit of time off. We went on vacation.
Back every 3 months, somewhere new.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes sooner than that.
Facts.
I'll do the talking. So yes, fam, we were out of town. We did some wonderful things that we're going to talk about. But before that, I just want to kind of give you a quick little snippet about what we're going to be talking about tonight, and that is higher consciousness. We have had a lot of questions about higher consciousness lately.
Yeah.
And partly because we went out of town to attend a master class on higher consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So people who didn't go have been asking us what it was about, what happened, and our response was,
can't tell you,
had to be there.
Yeah.
But we are going to give our take on higher consciousness,
right,
and what we got from it.
Right.
So not necessarily going to spill all the jewels that was passed down to us by our masters, but we will share our enlightening divine thoughts on
definitely,
it.
Definitely.
So, first off, we went to New York.
Oh, my goodness.
So, let's talk about that first.
Man.
So, we went to New York. We stayed in Manhattan, and it was the bomb.
We was acting like we were ballers.
We were acting like New Yorkers.
I was just throwing money in the air, and I wasn't even at a strip club. I was just making it rain on the world.
Like Rihanna.
Facts. Making it rain.
Yeah. We stayed at probably one of the nicest hotels that we've ever stayed at.
When you get free wine every day,
yeah,
we don't even drink. But we also had free juice and cookies.
Yeah, Yeah, they had all kinds of
brownies,
stuff. Coffee,
I mean, you name it. All you can eat and
cookies,
drink.
Chips, fruit, cheese, wine, breakfast, danishes, donuts.
Yeah.
Just they kept us. It kept us cool, even though we ate like crazy out there. sorry, fam.
Yeah.
Y'all just don't know. Chris is over here. Chris is over here barely breathing. If we go on pause for a minute, it's probably because I have to give him CPR. I mean, mouth to mouth. Although the way you're talking, I don't want to give you mouth to mouth.
Hey.
But, yeah, we had some great food in New York, too. We ate. Of course, we had to get some New York pizza.
Delicious.
That was amazing.
99 cents.
That was 99 cents a slice. I wasn't expecting that in New York.
We spent like $6 on pizza, and we was full. That's for 4 days.
Yes, we had. We went to
Junior's,
which is also something that you have to do if you're in New York. Some amazing
cheesecake.
And we had this bomb milkshake. It was so good.
Yeah.
I had a coffee milkshake.
And I had a chocolate banana.
Yeah, that was good.
It was delectable.
We had roti.
Caribbean food. Caribbean roti was good, man.
Roti was the bomb. That was so good.
Dale was like, "What do you want to eat, man?" I said, "Me get roti." Be hungry for roti, boss. And it was good.
Yes. We also had some Cuban food.
Oh, my
best name ever
on earth. The history of.
Yeah.
Mm.
And.
Thai.
Great Thai
food. Thai food.
Great Greek food.
The Greek food? Oh, my goodness. The Italian food?
The Italian food.
We would have gained weight if we wouldn't have walked 40 miles.
We walked about 40 miles every day.
Yeah. Divine Queen is chocolate now. It was so hot.
It was really hot now.
Yeah. Yeah, but everybody looked really nice. Carnegie
that was amazing.
Yeah.
The men looked great. The women looked beautiful.
Stunning.
It was it was amazing. Such an amazing event. To see our masters, talking about something as relevant as higher consciousness at a place that don't really have, you know, events where they talk about spirituality. My fault, they don't talk about spirituality.
Not in 90 years.
And he was the first melanated man to ever speak about to ever speak about spirituality, period.
And we were in the third row.
We were in a third row right in the center.
We got balcony seats, but I was like, we sitting up front. Shoot.
Yes, it was truly a once-in-a-lifetime event.
It really was.
And we are so blessed and honored that we were able to share in that moment. Another great thing that happened while we were in New York was that we got to visit the Met.
Oh, the Met Museum. You're talking about a stunning place. Us talking about it won't give an inkling of how good it was.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I've been in Egypt.
Yes. Talking about higher consciousness, when you go into the Met Museum and you go into the Egypt side, I mean, you just...
You're in Egypt. You're in Kemet.
There's no words. There's no words. I mean, it's just... It was just beautiful seeing... Some of those statues were... Like
huge. We're talking about tons.
Yeah.
Huge.
And you know, what's funny because whenever I took a picture with one of the statues, my whole screen just like blanked out for a minute. Like it was just so much energy or so powerful that it couldn't focus in. So I wasn't even sure if it was capturing the pictures for a minute.
It's so mammoth in there. You pay for one day, and they said this was good for three.
Yeah, because you can't do it all.
We were in there for 2.5 hours and didn't complete the whole Egyptian exhibit.
Yeah.
We had to come back the next day, finish it off, then go see Africa, China, and Hindu. I mean, we was in there for like 6 hours and didn't even see the other events. We ran through Greek and Rome. We ran through that like, yeah, this is good, but we got to go. We got to go.
Yeah, because it was just too much to take in. I mean, and the energy was so high in there that we were with a large group of people. And some people were just getting headaches. It was so much going on in there that it was a lot to take in.
It really was.
It really was a lot to take in. Not only just the artifacts itself, but the mass amount of people that were in there.
There's about 2,000 people in there, family.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people indoors.
Mm-hmm.
And when we left, it was like butt to butt, hip to hip.
Yeah.
It was like really tight.
But it was just
amazing.
It was so amazing to be in front of statues of Sekhmet, you know, to see statues of Hathor,
Dejanti,
to see Hanuman,
everybody,
Ganesha,
Kuan Yin.
Oh, they had a beautiful Kuan Yin statue.
It was 50 feet tall.
That was the biggest statue in there.
That was the biggest statue I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Beautiful,
it was beautiful.
It was so big, I couldn't get the whole thing in one shot.
It was beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yes. I still think about that on a daily.
We could do a whole show on the Met.
I go through and I look at the pictures, and I'm still amazed that I was there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just.
Yeah.
If you want to see the pics, you need to check out my Facebook page, Divine Queen. Amazing pictures.
Charge
them. Yeah. Cost you $5.99 per view. Okay, so higher consciousness. So a lot of people kind of get confused on, you know, how do they achieve higher consciousness? It's one thing to become conscious, to become aware of who you are, what's going on, what this quotation mark reality is all about, but the next level is just reaching a higher level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. The misconception about higher consciousness is that it's information, and that's just one morsel of higher consciousness. The other aspects of higher consciousness embody what you eat, how you sleep, how you talk. You know, everything you ingest into your body needs to be high vibratory,
mm-hmm.
and that allows you to transcend higher in your consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just a feeling, it's an embodiment. Everything you do is elevated. The way you look at reality, you have a 360 view of like perception around you. Everything, you see the creator in everything. And it just, it makes you happy all the time.
You know, you hit it on the nail right there. You see the creator in everything. You know, I think that when you first become aware of yourself, when you first step into owning consciousness, it's just like you're just downloading information. You're reading a lot, you're viewing a lot, you're learning a lot. But when you go into that next level of higher consciousness, it's no longer about just taking in information. It's no longer about, you know, reading or anything like that. It's about a sense of feeling. It's a sense of knowing.
When you really tap into your higher consciousness, you start to realize that there's only one consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reservoir that's flowing through our reality like a wave, like a cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And the higher your consciousness, the more you can pull from that single consciousness that's the creator's consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what higher consciousness is. It's something that's innate in every one of us, waiting for us to unlock it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to read about it. Reading about consciousness won't elevate your consciousness. Reading about consciousness will add to whatever you are.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not on that level, you won't be receptive to what you're reading. There are things that I read now that I read 10 years ago that I just didn't get.
Yeah.
But now I'm able to extract the information I need subconsciously, and then I'm able to apply it in my waking state.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll notice like your dreams. You want to go in on that?
Yeah.
Want me goes first?
Yeah, you go.
Well, back when I first started my spiritual journey, I noticed that my dreams weren't up to par of my wife's. She was dreaming about God and all these dreams of grandeur. And I was still dreaming about fighting and killing. But once I started to take my spiritual life more serious, start doing more spiritual practices, sun gazing, loving myself like the divine being and accepting the divineness that's within me, I noticed my dreams started changing.
Mm-hmm.
I started dreaming about being like a god, going through portals, having visits by transcended ancestors, being more lucid in my dreams, having feelings, emotions. All my senses were heightened in my dreams, to the point now that if I am fighting in my dreams, I'm fighting in the form of a divine being.
Mm.
And it's really weird. I'm no longer human in my dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going through portals, shining light on other sentient beings. I'm astral traveling. I'm doing all this stuff that I read about that it's kind of hard to explain, but you just got to feel it. You know, it's undescribable.
You know, I think it's important that we touch on so that people kind of get an understanding of, you know, consciousness and then higher consciousness about the ego versus spirituality.
Mm.
Because the ego is your human self. Mm-hmm. The ego is, you know, the one that's fighting to make everything difficult for you.
Right.
You know, if it's difficult, that's ego. If it's simple, that's spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your spirit self is experiencing things outside of the physical self. So experiencing things in the dream state, experiencing things in a meditative state, experiencing things in a spiritual state, in a magic state. So like you said, with the dreams, you know, you weren't exactly having these highly developed, you know, spiritual dreams in the beginning because you were still in that beginning stage, that consciousness stage, being aware of yourself stage. But when you start putting in the extra work, when you start doing the spiritual practices and sun gazing and making a connection with the gods, your spiritual side grew more.
That's so real because a lot of people aren't aware that we are multidimensional beings, experiencing different facets of reality on different dimensions at the same time.
Mm.
And what that means is the amalgamation or the totality of all your spiritual beings, you want to marry them.
Mm.
So I'm a spiritual warrior in one of my aspects of myself. I'm also a physical warrior in my physical self. And when you start to marry all yourselves, you start to just have this knowing. People will ask you questions and you will answer them and you're like, dang, where did that answer come from? You're able to extract things unconsciously, but they flow throughout your conscious thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm writing books like crazy. I just finished Wealth Consciousness. I sent it to the publishers last night and it's going to be out on Amazon Friday. And this is called what? I'm really happy. You know, my first two books.
I got a book, family. I got a book.
But now I'm like, yeah, I'm dropping a book every month.
Nah.
Yeah, every month something.
I love it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I remember when we first, you know, got on the spiritual path. And for me, it was because I used to be an infant while I still am. You know, I'm an information person. I like to take things in. I like to learn. And when I take things in, I have to make sense of it.
Yeah.
And so I have to break it down and I have to figure it out and, you know, rule things out and embrace things. And, you know, this is how my mind works.
Mm-hmm.
And once I got to the point where it was like, you know, after we met our spiritual masters, Dr. Mitchell Gibson and Ashara Kathy Gibson, that stepped our game up to another level. And it was like, okay, there's nothing else really out here that books can teach me anymore. So now it's like I have to go outside of the books and I have to go within. And everything else that I needed to learn was already within me. It was just like you said, it was because we have all these different selves in these multi-dimensional universes and, you know, different times and everything, that when you start to learn to go within, they all just kind of merge together and everything that you've known from each lifetime becomes one.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the best ways to know that your consciousness is taking off on the next level is by dreaming.
Yeah.
And for me, my dreams took off, you know, like you said, I was having dreams about, you know, different spiritual beings. I was having premonition dreams, past life dreams, and it was just, that was the one of the sure signs that I was definitely growing spiritually and my consciousness was taking off.
Mm-hmm.
And something that you said earlier is that when you're marrying the two, when you're marrying the ego and the spirituality especially, you have to do things in your physical state in order to elevate your spiritual state.
That's right.
And you can do that by eating
healthy food,
high vibratory foods.
No drugs.
No alcohol.
Limiting your negative. Eliminating
negative thoughts and people.
Yeah.
From your existence.
You got to love yourself more than you love anything else.
Mm-hmm.
When people call me and they're talking negative, I stop them in their tracks. Hey, I don't want to hear anything negative. I need nothing but wins.
Yes.
And you've heard me say that. You looked at me like, wow, you're changing. Yeah, I'm God now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear that. I'll just take it for an hour.
You was good at, you know, because I'm a consoler.
I want my people to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But when you wash yourselves from the negativity, I was embracing it.
Yeah, they washed the dirt off on you, and they feel good now.
They were treating me like a dump truck. They were dumping their garbage on me and going about their way feeling cleansed.
Or a dirty dish rag.
That's right. I was a dirty, dirty dish rag, you.
Oh, it's cool.
But one thing that you can do yourself to realize you're growing in your spirituality is your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
When you're vibrating high, your thoughts change.
They do.
You start being more creative.
Mm-hmm.
You start thinking of ways, how can I help humanity? You definitely start loving all sentient beings better.
Yes.
Like I used to like animals. Now I see a puppy. I said, look at that little cute little dog. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I whistle to birds and they whistle back.
Mm-hmm.
Animals, they see you different because your signature changes.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we're graded on after we transcend is how much light we have and how much light we use in this reality.
Mm.
And by increasing your vibration and growing spiritually, your signature that the universe recognizes you by changes.
Mm-hmm.
You become what I would call a light being.
Mm.
So just imagine higher divine beings out here looking at Earth and they're seeing all these dark colored people. And then there you are, beaming with light.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think they're going to help?
Mm-hmm.
That's why the ancients were so good at what they did.
Mm-hmm.
They did things from a masterful level, everything. The way they cooked, the way they drew, the way they made sculptures, everything was perfect because they had a perfect way of living.
You know, and another thing that they did that you will do once you are at a level of higher consciousness is that you will make more time for spiritual practices.
Yeah.
You know, in the beginning when we were on this journey, we looked at spiritual practice. We didn't even call it spiritual practice. We called it spiritual work.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at it as if it was work. And so it wasn't something that was, you know, in the beginning it was enjoyable because it was new.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, it became work. It became something that we looked at as, oh, this is something we got to do to elevate. If we got to elevate, we got to do this.
These ancestors.
Guess I got to go meditate. Yeah. You know, and, you know, when you look at something as being work, you're looking at it as a task. You're looking at it as something that you're not really getting any fulfillment out of.
Right. But when you look at things as a practice, you're doing something you love.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you think of practice, it gives the connotation that you're trying to master something.
Exactly.
So now we don't look at it as spiritual work, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
We look at it as spiritual practices because we're trying to master ourselves and our higher selves.
And, you know, we understood that it wasn't something that we had to do because it was something that just needed to be done. We understood that we weren't feeling complete without doing it.
Yeah. That's one thing about doing your spiritual practices and growing spiritually. Once you start to ascend, your life changes. Different doors of opportunity open for you. The world seems brighter. Food tastes better. And the things that you used to do to suppress all the negativity in the world will be repugnant to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like I drank and I had a headache for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't had a drink in like 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
I finished my book, and I don't know where I was going with that. I just got my book on my mind. I'm so hype. I'm trying to be humble about it. Trying to talk host.
Well, this might be a good time to remind a fam. We got a lot of people on the line, but if you want to call in, you have a question or a statement, or you just want to say what's up, our phone number is 619-924-0835. If you're already on the line, you can hit number 1 and let us know you want to come through, and that's what we'll do. We'll bring you through.
Let's talk about meditation.
Yeah.
I know we've done shows about this in the past, but we need to tell people about this.
So meditation is a key component to reaching higher consciousness. You cannot reach higher consciousness without meditation.
You know, I look at meditation like a receiver or a cable box or a router.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get wireless, you can't get cable if you don't turn your router on.
Mm-hmm.
So when you tap into yourself, your innate self, you're able to tap into the frequency that the creator's on.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about your manifestation, when you're trying to manifest things in your life, in your mind, all your manifestations happen instantly. But when you meditate, it allows that manifestation to, you're able to extract it from the ethers into this reality quicker by tuning yourself to the frequency of the creator. And that's the frequency that he talks to you on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want you to think that, oh, I can only meditate at home while it's quiet. When you're at a red light, you can meditate right there. You don't always have to have your eyes closed. There's a plethora of ways to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
It's about just tapping in, being mindful of your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. You'll notice, though, that the higher your consciousness evolves, that the more easy it is for you to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
You will likely meditate even longer than you have before. I remember when we first started meditating, we would do it for like 5-10 minutes.
Good, I'm good for the day.
Yeah.
Chill. Got
my spirit on. I remember you used to fall asleep.
I did. I was tapping in. I was going through the door to the bed. You were like, babe, you're snoring. I'm like, I was in the ethers, babe. I used to go. And to this day, I can't meditate on my back. It's over. I'm not going to lie to my family. I'm a sleep tater.
Yeah, you are.
30 minutes, I'm good. I haven't made it to an hour yet, consciously. But that's just me.
Yeah. But, you know, we started out doing like a few minutes a day, and then gradually over time, you know, we're able to step our game up now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me, 30 minutes, an hour a day is no longer something that I look at as like, I can't do that. You know,
mm-hmm.
In the beginning, I was like, I can't sit still and clear my thoughts for 30 minutes, 60 minutes on top of that. Oh, come on. No way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when your consciousness is growing that way, it craves that time because mm-hmm. it's within that time that you are more in touch with the creator.
You know, one thing that really was a epiphany for me was I made a choice to decide to do this. My willingness to evolve was stronger than my willingness to devolve.
Mm-hmm.
And after we're born, our life, we're hit with things to help us devolve.
Mm-hmm.
We're hit with it. But there came a point in time when I got tired of losing. So I came up with this mantra, winning. I wasn't even winning in the beginning, but I was telling people I was. Now I am. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything that I do, I just end up winning. That's the thing about growing spiritually. Things tend to go your way.
Mm-hmm.
We love to go out to eat. We used to have to fight for a place to park. Now, before we even get there, we know we're going to get a great spot. And we usually get the spot right in front of the spot. Things just tend to go our way. And that's the beauty of tapping in. And it's not something that you have to turn a knob. It should be something that embodies you all day. All day. There's no, I wait till I get home to do my spiritual practices. We say mantras. We look up at the sun. We do what we do all day.
I And that's another, you know, spiritual practice or exercises, you know, saying divine sacred prayers, doing mantras, doing different type of spiritual acts. You know, one of the best spiritual acts that you can do is giving back.
Yeah. That's one of the biggest things. Because when you give out, you tell the universe that you have abundance. And you let the universe know that you know that it knows you're here.
Mm-hmm.
I love giving to people. And it doesn't have to be money. I give my time. I give my joy. One of the things that I do to make people feel good is make them laugh.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to make people laugh. It's easy for me. But when you laugh, when you can make people laugh, that's priceless.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. I love that people let me know, man, I just like being around you. I had some dude kiss me, not on the lips. But I made him feel so good, he gave me a kiss. I was like, what the heck is going on? I'm not used to this level, creator. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take it. And it's all good.
Yeah, that was funny, though.
It was funny. I've never been kissed because I gave someone so much joy.
So there's not new, but it's becoming popular, new spiritual exercise that is coming about other than meditation that people are calling earthing. And it's pretty much a way of grounding yourself through the use of being out in nature barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another thing. Once you reach a higher consciousness, you find yourself drawn to quiet, secluded, nature-filled areas.
You know, us humans are supposedly the most intelligent beings next to dolphins on this earth, but we're the least connected. We wear shoes. We wear clothes.
Mm-hmm.
All other animals are bucky naked, walking around, connected to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you're like an antenna, and you connect to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I notice that when I'm outside, there's nothing like taking my shoes off and just spreading my toes,
mm-hmm.
putting them in the ground, and just embracing the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds a little weird because how I sound today is nothing like how I sounded 10 years ago.
Nah.
I'm like, I ain't taking my shoes. I got ugly feet. But now I don't
care.
And
I would have been like, don't take your shoes off. You got ugly feet.
Now she sucks them.
No, I don't.
I'm just joking. This is what we do here. That's higher consciousness. That's funny, though.
No, you're going to get it.
I accept. That's one good thing about higher consciousness, that it involves a lot of laughing.
A lot of joy.
When we was around our family, shout out to Vaughn, the Reese's, everybody that was with us.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to all of them. We laughed and we ate and we laughed and we ate.
And we didn't get any sleep.
We all in our 40s or something. Someone was, we up 3:30 in the morning. And
4 in the morning.
Eating
sometimes.
Pizza.
Yeah, eating pizza.
Waking up at
building.
8 and doing it again.
Yeah.
But that's what gods do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing you know when someone's vibrating high. When you're around them and you're just charged up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're around someone, you're like, man, I can't wait for them to leave. Ugh,
mm-hmm.
They're not vibrating how you are.
Exactly.
And I don't care if it's family members or friends. Cut them off.
Mm-hmm.
Love yourself enough to cut these people off. Yeah.
So another sign of higher consciousness is that you will start to build a connection with higher spiritual beings.
Mm-hmm.
You will dream about gods. You will see spirit. You will see signs of spirit. You may see orbs. You may see auras. You have a sense of just knowing things. Things seem to just come to you. They're downloaded to you. You start developing spiritual gifts. So when all of these things are happening, these are surefire ways that your consciousness is definitely developing on a higher level.
Mm-hmm. You know, you can only go so far in this reality with human effort.
Mm-hmm.
You need to link yourself up with divine sources, divine power sources,
yes.
divine beings.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do that. The rich know this. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to give all the jewels to my book, Wealth Consciousness, but I go in on this.
Mm-hmm.
But when you link yourself and your consciousness up with divine beings, they work with you. They make moves for you before you even see the move coming. That's one thing about higher consciousness. You don't know all your moves. You just have a knowing that it's going to be okay. I know my consciousness is getting high and I'm vibrating high. Why? I gave my job my 30-day notice. I was like, you know what? I'm out. I make good money. But I was like, you know what? I'm out. And they was looking at me like I was crazy. But I know without knowing that I'm going to win in the end.
Mm-hmm.
That's higher consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel like I'm not getting paid, even though I make good money, I'm not getting the millions that I need.
Or the respect.
Or the respect that I need as a divine being.
Mm-hmm.
And when you allow the universe to see you succumbing to how other people see you, it will treat you accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see yourself as a god, as a wealthy person, the universe will act accordingly. Your reality is nothing more than a reflection of how you feel about yourself within, period.
Very important, because when you treat yourself, when you act as if you are divine, if you act as if you are this high spiritual being that you really are, a lot of people don't realize they are, but when you accept that, then everything lines up for you to live that life.
Mm-hmm. That's real.
You can't go into something with doubt or with fear or anxiety and then expect the best.
Right.
It's not going to work like that. Yeah. So, you know, it's important to definitely align yourself up with spiritual beings, with the gods, the creator, of course, but also with the different gods, especially if you have a specific thing that you want to work on. Let's say your thing is you want to be a writer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to align yourself up with the type of god that's going to help you grow in that area.
Tahuti all day.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my book, when I wrote, I had Tahuti on me. I had a medallion of Tahuti around my neck,
mm-hmm.
and I got downloads,
mm-hmm.
you know? Simple as that.
Simple as that. You also want to make sure that you are paying respect to the gods.
Mm-hmm.
You want to thank them in every opportunity. You want to thank, you know, the universe. You want to thank the creator. You want to thank spirit. You want to thank everything for making a way out of, you know, usually out of nothing.
Mm-hmm. You know what? The spirit told me to say this. When you grow spiritually, it's not all about being peace and love. It's knowing when to be peace and love and when to be strong. There are no spiritual punks in my crew. You know, I don't want everybody to think that everything's about, yes, please. You got to know when to be soft and when to be hard. Not in a vengeful way, but loving yourself to a point where you won't accept anything less than what you deserve. You know? That's the balance. You need to marry the two. You need to embrace your masculine energy and your feminine energy. That's when I started growing spiritually, when I started embracing my feminine side. I was too masculine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm still masculine. Now, get out.
Hmm.
Say it again. Hmm. That's real. But I had to embrace the feminine side of myself, too. And I want you all to do that. But one thing that I'm imploring every listener on the phone right now, if you don't know a divine prayer, learn one.
Yes.
The first divine prayer that I learned was the Ganesha mantra, the Om Gam Ganapati Nama. That's the remover of obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple and sweet. You can say it 108 times, and it removes any obstacle in your way.
Mm-hmm.
The second prayer I learned was the miracle prayer, the Yanabakoa.
Mm-hmm.
That's a miracle prayer. It helps heal, purifies things,
mm-hmm.
and it puts you on that frequency of vibrating higher.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, there's Nisa Vijayadharani.
Mm-hmm.
It will help elevate your physical soul, and it helps elevate people after they die. Even if someone you love has transitioned and you know they weren't quite right, you can write this prayer down on a piece of paper, slip it into their coffin, and it will like wash away everything. It will help them vibrate right there and high. This is free stuff that people can do, you know?
And I would say you definitely want to have an altar.
Say that again, baby, please.
Definitely erect an altar. Your altar is going to be your most important connection, the strongest bond that you can form to the gods.
Mm-hmm.
And the gods are with you at all times, but when you have an altar in your honor, when you put deities on your altar, when you pray to the gods, when you do offerings to the gods, when you show that you are in debt to the gods, it's a way of them knowing that they are able to help you grow to that next level. They are able
mm-hmm.
to help you to evolve to a further level. They realize that you are aware and you are ready to move on.
You know, I would always say that the altar is nothing more than a physical representation of
mm-hmm.
your spirituality.
That's the thing.
It's my thing. And as you grow, your altar grows. And your altar will also alter your reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's like your cheat code. It's like free cheese. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You get it? Yeah. I don't know what I'm saying. Free cheese threw me off. I've never said that about the altar. I don't even know where this comes from. I was thinking about that breakfast sandwich I made the other day with the fried egg on the croissant with all that cheese. I know it's had nothing to do with higher consciousness, but yeah.
You got issues.
Yeah.
So, and another thing that you will want to do or that you will find yourself wanting to do more of is doing different spiritual practices.
Mm-hmm.
For us, our master creates a magnitude of just wealthy, rich field spiritual work that, you know, when you reach a level of higher consciousness, your soul craves to do these things. You know, it no longer becomes, you know, work. It's something that you enjoy doing. It's like eating a, you know, like your cheese egg omelet.
It's like everyone knows who Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is.
Mm-hmm.
Our master makes tools like that.
Yeah.
Everything's so delectable. Everything's so sweet. It's the best of everything.
Mm-hmm.
The information that he provides expands your consciousness on levels that you'd never even be able to fathom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the first things I did was get the sun to respond to me.
Mm-hmm.
And once I did that, I knew that there was more than this reality than what we've been told.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I was sold. Like, okay, he said this was going to happen. If I go out here and do this every day, he didn't tell me when it was going to happen, but it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you talking about an awakening, a lot of people talk about that Kundalini feeling. This trumps that. I was out there screaming
first thing in the morning,
waking people up. Oh, they're like, what's wrong with this dude? He's looking at the sun, about to cry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, family, when you grow spiritually, your life changes. The world, it seems like it slows down.
It does. Time no longer has a true meaning anymore.
It doesn't.
You know.
It doesn't, because you realize it's not going to run out on you.
Mm-hmm.
You think that you're going to die one day, but you realize you're never going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be a god. If you believe you're going to die, you're going to die.
Mm-hmm. If you believe you're going to go to hell, you're going to go to hell.
When you transition, as soon as you transition, everything heightens. If you have a lot of love, you get a heightened a lot of love. If you think you've done a lot of bad in your life and you haven't forgiven yourself for all your past transgressions, that's going to get heightened too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the monks cut their hair, don't date, because they don't want any attachments. They want to embrace as much loving energy as they can so they can ascend to a higher realm of reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about. That's our number one goal here in this life, is to grow spiritually. We come back over and over to grow spiritually. And the more challenges you have in your life, the more you grow. That's the weird part about so-called hard times. Because when you embrace the hard times and you stop asking why God, and start thinking, why did I? You gain power over the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can figure out, okay, how can I grow from this challenging situation here?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You know, it reminds me of one of the tools that I'm working with for Master Now called the Book of Gates.
Mm.
And I shared this story with the with our spiritual family, the Gander family, but I'm going to share it with you as well. So there is a book that our master put together for us called the Book of Gates. And it basically explains that there are 9 different worlds that a piece of our unconsciousness, so our unconscious selves, travels to and visits pretty much daily. And the first world that I read about, I won't say the name of the world, but it's a world where it's full of suffering. It's a world full of grief. It's a world full of pain, chaos, anxiety, depression. And this is a world that many, many, many people visit. They spend way too much time there. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So with this book, there are different spells that you have to work with to pretty much free yourself from this world. And the way that you do it is that once you work these spells, you have to learn why you are allowing yourself to visit this world in order to, why are you allowing yourself to go through suffering? What is it that you're supposed to learn from going to this world so that you don't have to return?
Mm.
And the first world that I work with, this world of suffering, it's a place where it's kind of like a hell-looking type of world. Everything is just kind of dead. It's desolate. There's no real, you know, big energy, no energy of life or spirituality or, you know what I mean? It's just really
bleak,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a dream after doing this work that I was in this world, and it was funny because I felt like I had been there before, but I had just never remembered. And I was able to remember this time, and I was able to know that this was a place that I didn't want to be anymore. And I had my fill of it, and I was done with it. And while I was there, I ran into a loved one who was living there. And in her waking state, she is, you know, going through a lot of suffering. She's embracing suffering, even though she knows that, you know, she can do better. She's chosen to embrace suffering. And in the dream state, when I seen her there and I was trying to, you know, get her out of it, and she was comfortable there. And she had this beautiful home there, but it was in this dead, desolate, you know, world. But to her, it was, you know, it was normal life. And so it's just, you know, those are the kind of things that happen when you go out. And I probably went way off subject, but those are the kind of things that happen when you're doing, you know, spiritual work that elevates your consciousness. You're able to see that there's so much more to your existence than this current reality. And you understand that because of certain things that you have unconsciously accepted into your life, you have brought it into this existence.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that loved one that I've seen there, she's made a home into this world. And because of that, she is suffering in her waking state all the time.
Mm-hmm. I think you have that dream because days before you had that dream, we talked about, should you intervene and let her know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Derek Green was pretty much letting you know that she's embraced this type of living.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what you do, she's going to have to clean her own house.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah. And it's funny because she was trying to get me to clean her house while I was there.
Wow. Confirmation.
I was like, I ain't cleaning your house, girl. I ain't getting out of this place.
Your dreams are a direct inkling to how far you're growing spiritually.
Yes.
Before my master had a class on higher consciousness at Carnegie Hall, I dreamt of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea that my dream was going to correlate to him going to Carnegie Hall.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a dream he holds high celestial math classes. And I've been to his classes multiple times. And when you wake up and you tell him what was going on, and then you say, I can't quite remember. And he tells you, I was trying to teach you this. And there's other people around the world, and he visits thousands of people a night. And that's one of the phenomena about how powerful this brother is.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, in the dream, he mentioned them having a class on higher consciousness. In the dream. You hear that baby cry?
Yeah, I do.
Is that out here?
I think it's outside.
Oh, man, I'm hearing a baby cry. Like, whose baby is that? Yeah, what I was talking about now. Crying baby.
Your higher consciousness too.
Yeah.
Well, another thing is, and this is very important when it comes to ego and spirituality, because when you are, you know, most things when you learn something new, your ego gets involved big time. And so when your ego gets involved, you find yourself being like, yeah, I can do this and I can do that and I'm this and I'm that and you need to do this. And if you're not down with this, then you're not that. And that's not spirituality. That's ego. And just because you're able to do certain things, just because you're able to see things or your gifts are flourishing more or, you know, you make your sun blink or whatever the case may be, those things do not make you any more special than anyone else who's doing the same thing.
Yeah, that's real.
You know what I mean?
That's so real.
Master told us, and this is something that I am going to spill because it meant so much to me because I've seen a lot of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you are more powerful than anyone else. It doesn't mean that you're a greater God or you're a master or you're more divine or anything like that. It just means you care more about evolving.
That's it. And when he said that, I sat back and was thinking, like, wow, I thought I was better. But it made me realize that we're all the same.
We're all the same because we're all connected.
Right. Some people choose Jordans. I like sandals. You know what I mean? Doesn't make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan's not better. It just is what it is.
It just is what it is, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people get caught up because they're so excited about growing spiritually that when they do witness certain phenomenons and things that happen, it does. It makes you feel special. You feel like, oh, wow, I'm this because I seen this or I did this and I was successful at it. And you are. You are special. But a lot of times people kind of go to the left with it.
Yeah.
And the ego grows with it instead of the spirituality.
And the arrogance
forms. And the arrogance forms. And so, and with that, you will find that you won't get as many people, you know, drawn to you because they're kind of looking at you like, he's full of himself or she thinks she's all that or whatever, instead of actually getting the message, instead of actually getting that higher connection that's needed.
You know, I wrote a poem about light. I haven't shared it with the world yet, but when you are light, you don't need a flashlight.
No.
I don't need to shine because I'm already shining.
Exactly.
And that's one thing I've realized, and I've mirrored myself after my master, because he doesn't talk much. He talks little, but the little things he say be so impactful.
So impactful.
That just sends you on a mental trip.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the type of mastery that I'm trying to get to, that I'm aspiring to accomplish. And that's one thing about true spirituality, not in a religious sense, because unfortunately, religious puts you in a box, and you don't grow. Mm-hmm. You think you are, but you're hearing the same information over and over, and the same information. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine eating conies every day?
No.
No. You might want a steak or something every now and then.
You might want some salmon.
You might want some salmon. Yeah.
You know, another thing that he said that I thought was very impactful was that the story of the two wolves.
Mm.
And we often hear the story of the two wolves where it's the good wolf and the bad wolf, the light wolf and the dark wolf.
Yeah.
And the light one is the one that's spirituality and the dark one is the one that's ego. But he told it in a different way where it was, you know, two wolves that were the same, but one was just being fed more, so it was fat. And the other one wasn't being fed, so it was, you know, scrawny and barely hanging on. And he was saying that, you know, whereas with the white wolf and the black wolf, people want to treat those equally. With the big wolf and the little wolf, it was being fed in a way where you're feeding one more spirituality and taking less of the ego from the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was just
beautiful. That's the one thing about a real master. Whenever you're doing anything, whether you're being a martial arts master or an apprentice, you need someone that's been there, done that, to guide you.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on YouTube and think you know Wing Chun, but when you come across someone like me that really knows it, you realize I've been wasting my time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a master does. They give you the little bitty things, the little cheat codes that help you out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's what our master does. He's masterful in every area of his life.
Yeah.
He's a master husband, master father, master teacher,
master
creator, master doctor.
Master artist.
Right.
Master everything.
And he doesn't go around saying, hey, my name's master. People call him that because they see that in him. And that's the level that I'm aspiring to have one day, a spiritual master, because it's so rewarding. Can you imagine being wealthy by just helping people, not taking from people, but helping them grow, helping them be like you?
Mm-hmm.
That's a fulfilling life right there for me, you know?
And I would say that that's probably the final step in really... Well, I'm not going to say the final step, but one of the most important steps to achieving higher consciousness is by having a powerful master.
Mm-hmm.
Having someone who can help you along the way, who can guide you, who can, you know, who's there as, not as someone that's trying to collect something from you or someone that's trying to help themselves out by helping you, but by someone who just genuinely cares about, you know, spiritual beings.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And when you grow spiritually, all aspects of your life grow along with you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just amass a lot of spiritual knowledge. People around you benefit from you growing as well.
Mm-hmm.
All your close family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
My mama out there every day in the sun now.
Yeah, she is.
She lost like 60, 70 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
She was getting cortisone shots in her knees for years.
Mm-hmm.
I healed that knee. She don't need that no more. She's out there walking miles every day. She had cancer. I took that out of her. She don't need that no more. You know? So this is a type of power that's within all of us. We can help the people we love the most and see them start growing.
Yes.
I never fathomed my mom would memorize a divine prayer. And now she says it all day, every day. I got to keep up with my mama. Like, man, she her altar every day. Writing three books. I got to get me a third one and a fourth one. But we challenge each other. That's what happens when you get a real spiritual team.
Mm-hmm.
You challenge each other. I got a website. My wife got a website. We both got books. This wasn't us 10 years ago. We were just thinking about, man, I can't stand my job. And what are we going to eat for dinner tonight? That was it. That was our night.
Yeah.
The weekend we gonna turn up though.
And what meals do we have to pay?
Man, well, I don't even think about meals no more because I don't have any.
Exactly. Well, you have anything else you want to add? We're coming up on the hour.
Yeah, we are coming up on the hour. You know what? I just want everybody to realize one thing. When you transition, you're going to be asked a question. And that question is going to determine whether you reincarnate over again or if you ascend to the higher realms of reality. And that question is, what master do you serve? Everyone needs to link their consciousness up with a divine source much higher than you. Because when you transition and you need help and you've established a relationship with a divine power source, and you've helped that divine, or you show like ultimate respect for this source your whole life, when you call on that energy, it'll be there to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about. And then you do the hokey pokey and turn yourself around.
Really?
I'm just joking. I just said it out there. I was like, man, you sounded too serious, bro. You sounded too serious, Chris. But I was serious.
Mm-hmm.
I was serious.
Well, family, we're going to go ahead and bring this to an end. We thank you so much for tuning in with us this evening. We hope that we were able to share some light on higher consciousness and help you to grow on your journey and evolve further. And we will be back next Monday evening,
mm-hmm.
7 o'clock Eastern Time. We were supposed to have a guest on, but I don't think she was ready. So.
You know what? One last thing, family. Laugh more. Love more.
Mm-hmm.
Do more of the stuff you love more. If you want to buy yourself something, buy it. Don't worry about it. Don't think, and I got to do this. Don't worry about that. Just do it. Do it and do it now. You have it for a reason. When we started treating ourselves like the divine beings we are, we noticed we had more of that,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So start treating yourself. Even if you got to treat yourself alone, do it. Even if your mate ain't on the same accord with your spiritual practices, keep doing it. When they see your consistency, something's going to switch in them. And they'll see you growing spiritually, embracing love and joy more, treating them better. It's only natural for them to want to be on the same accord as you. So that's all I got to say to y'all, family. I love you.
So you kind of took some of the stuff I was going to say. I was going to end it with, in order to achieve higher consciousness, you want to love more, you want to live more, you want to embrace joy, and you want to give back.
Mm.
But more important than that, you want to, like you said, connect yourself with a divine source.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean to take your joy back.
It's all good. I don't mind sharing with you.
I accept it. I'll take it. I'll take it.
It just shows that we're always on the same accord.
That's real.
So, and we drive a whole court.
Fully loaded.
Yeah. But, fam, we will be back next Monday. We will probably be doing a relationship show.
We
have not done a relationship show in a while. So
we're
trying to stick to a pattern of, you know, how we're going to do our shows. So sometimes.
Relationship.
Yeah. Sometimes we just throw stuff out. We never know. But, yeah, next week let's do a relationship show.
Did we do the movie breakdown show last week?
We didn't because we were out of town.
Oh, yeah.
You
want
to do a movie breakdown and then do a relationship?
Let's do a movie breakdown.
Okay. So, scratch that. Next Monday, we're going to do a new movie breakdown show. If you have any movies that you would like us to discuss and to break down spiritually, send us a message on Facebook on the Twin Flame Radio page,
mm-hmm.
or you can message us directly, Divine Queen and Chris Enlighten.
Mm-hmm.
Through Messenger. And I don't know, we'll do that.
We'll do that.
Cool
thing. For you.
For you, because we love you.
Mm.
All right, fam. So we are out. We got things to do. We got spiritual work to finish up on.
Mm. Yeah.
And we will see you next Monday, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. My name is Divine Queen.
And I'm El Pollo Loco.
Okay. And we are out. Peace, love, and light, fam.
Eh.